Dear congregation, I invite you to open God's word with me for the first time as your pastor to Psalm 124. Psalm 124. Our text will come from verse 8. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. But let us hear the whole psalm in its context. A song of ascents of David. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us alive. When their wrath was kindled against us, then the waters would have overwhelmed us, the stream would have gone over our soul, then the swollen waters would have gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Amen. May God bless the reading of his precious and infallible word. Let us unite our hearts in prayer. O Almighty God and merciful Heavenly Father, what an amazing privilege it is to gather as your people on this special occasion, to already have meditated upon your word and to be called to preach that word. O Lord, we pray for your blessing on the message that we have heard. We pray for your blessing on the ministry here at Providence. And as you have sovereignly called and sent a pastor of your choosing to this dear flock, we pray, Lord, that you would equip him with all that he stands in need of, and that truly his help would be in the name of the Lord, that he might truly preach that word in season and out of season to your honor and to your glory. O Lord, what a solemn occasion it is to be installed into such a ministry. And we pray, Lord, for your help. We pray for your power. We pray for your spirit, that we might be graced with all that we need today, but every day that you call your servant here. And so bless also the message that will be preached from this passage, from Psalm 124, that your word would have preeminence among us, that your Son would be lifted up, and that your Spirit would guide us to find closure in him for time and for eternity, that we might set our hope on the living God. And so go with us, Lord, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us continue with singing, standing, Psalter 352. It's taken from Psalm 124. It might not be as familiar a tune as we all have, but it yet is a beautiful tune and this particular psalm. So let us sing Psalter 352, all stanzas.
Thank you.
Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we hear these words of this song, in this psalm, our help is in the name of the Lord, then maybe our children could even tell us where these words are so familiar, for we recite them each time at the beginning of our worship services, and they hear these words as what we call our votum, which is a vow or a confession and declaration that at the beginning of our worship service, we are doing so and gathering in worship in the help of the Lord. Certainly, this is fitting for the beginning of our worship services. And certainly, it is fitting as we undertake gospel ministry here in Providence. But equally fitting, it is also for the whole congregation, no matter who and where you are in each stage of your life. And so also for Israel in this song of ascents, Psalm 124, we find these psalms of ascent in Psalms 120 through 134, because they were sung as pilgrims making their way to Jerusalem, which was in the mountainous region. So as they would ascend up to Jerusalem to worship and attend the annual festivals, not only would they be ascending literal mountains, but their hearts would be ascending with them, overflowing with praises to the Lord their God. And so they would sing these psalms. Psalm 124 is one of them. And such a psalm is so fitting for pilgrims in this world, isn't it? Isn't it true here as David is penning this psalm as a pilgrim going up to the festivals? You might think of one who is in the wilderness, who is beset with dangers all around and snares and floods and all kinds of problems. And yet he comes in the help of the Lord. And he comes through the strength of the Lord in order to worship the Lord. And so equally important is this confession for each and every one of us. Whether we're a young person, whether we're in family life or in businesses or in schooling or wherever we are in our lives, we can relate with this pilgrim psalm. And we can relate with it today, but especially as we meditate on the gospel ministry in Providence. I'd like to look at this confession in the context of Psalm 124 with two thoughts. The first one, that this is a God-centered confession, and secondly, a gospel-focused confession. Our help is in the name of the Lord. That's very opposite when we put the emphasis on the name of the Lord. It's very opposite from any man-centered help. Man who is sinful, man who is weak, who is inadequate. No, this is a God-centered confession. Our help is in God, not in man, not in all of what man might think is to help us in this life. But it is in God. And God is the one who is adequate for all of our weaknesses. As I contemplated ministry over the past months here in St. George in Providence, many fears would well up in my heart and intimidations would come up, and all of the inadequacies of self and would all surface, and we would come back to this text time and time again. Our help is not in man. Our help is not in our own strength. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the one who has created the heavens and the earth. Out of nothing, our God creates everything. And he provides and he upholds everything. He governs all things. He controls all things. How can we not rest in him and take our strength from him? The one who is the maker of heaven and earth. But it's also in the very name of God, the very attributes and the character of our God, the one who is all-knowing, the one who knows all of our fears, all of our senses of inadequacy. The one who understands all the dilemmas that are on our hearts and in our minds. He knows all things. It's no wonder the psalmist in Psalm 139 takes so much comfort from God knowing all things. And the one who is around him and everywhere present even. Not only was he with us in Lacombe, but he's also with us here. He's a God who is everywhere present. He's a God who is all-powerful. He's a God who is faithful and merciful and loving and gracious in all of our trials, yet he has our best interest in mind. This is the God in whom we have help. Where in the world would you go to find a God like unto our God to help in any time of trouble, any time of trial? Any time you feel as if the floods would overflow. This is a God-centered confession. Our help is in the name of the Lord. You might look to Allah. You might look to secular science or humanism or materialism. You might look anywhere else in this world, but you will never find a God like unto our God. You can look to the best pastor. You can look to the best teacher. You can look to the best doctor. You can look to the best elder. You can look to the best parent. But our help is in the name of the Lord. And so we look in a God-centered way, confessing at the beginning of a ministry here in Providence to the Lord. And that ultimately makes all the difference in the world. David's confession here in Psalm 124 begins, "If it had not been the Lord who was on our side." You notice that little word, if? If it had not been the Lord who was on our side. And he doesn't want that just to be his own confession, but he also says, let Israel now say, let the congregation now say, if the Lord had not been on our side. Notice how it's repeated there. Then there would have been many trials. This has been Israel's confession since the beginning, hasn't it? This has been Israel's confession since the days of Moses as he leads his people, the Lord's people, out of Egypt. Moses says to the Lord in Exodus 33, "See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. And so now I pray, show me that grace." And he says to them, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? And the Lord said to Moses, I will show you that I will go with you. And the Lord said, and Moses says, please show me your glory. And he says, I will make all my goodness pass before you. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. And the Lord shows his glory to Moses. He shows his glory to Israel. And he leads them through the wilderness. He leads them to the promised land. Those pilgrims going and ascending to the promised land. He shows them in all of their waywardness, his patience, his loving kindness, his mercies, his compassion. Doesn't he show Joshua? And doesn't he show Israel that they are to be strong and very courageous as they're led as God's people victorious into the promised land as they believe his promises? Joshua 1 verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you, says the Lord. You think of the days of Gideon. as Gideon is confronted the angel of the Lord. He says, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why has all of these things happened to us? Why are the Midianites now coming down upon us? Has the Lord forsaken us?" And the Lord says to him, "No, no. Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" And Gideon had to learn many things, didn't he? Even though the Lord said, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man," Gideon had to learn that he had to take less and less men, from 32,000 down to 10,000, even down to 300 men, that he might know that the victory came from the Lord, that the Lord was his help. And here David in Psalm 124, possibly considering all of these past victories of the Lord for Israel, but also his victories in the battles with the Philistines, the enemies of God, even Goliath himself. God was his help. Our help is in the name of the Lord. The Old Testament is a continual witness of the profound blessing of looking to the Lord for all of his sovereign protection, all of his sovereign power, all of his sovereign grace, wisdom, and faithfulness. Shouldn't we then also say, this day, our help is in the name of the Lord? In other words, our sufficiency is in the name of the Lord. Is not that what Paul confessed about ministers of the new covenant in 2 Corinthians 3? If you have your Bibles open, you can turn there. In 2 Corinthians 3, he says he's not wanting to commend himself or themselves. He wants to commend the Lord. He says in verse 5, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from whom? From God. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." Verse 12, "Therefore, since we have such a hope, we use great boldness of speech." And he shows how even the ministers of the new covenant have a greater ministry and a greater promise, as it were, than Moses, whose promises were veiled. But now the ministers of the new covenant have full access to the Word of God, the full revelation of God's Word and His Spirit. And therefore, we do not lose heart. Yes, though we are cast down. Yes, though God has placed this treasure in earthen vessels, yet we press on in the name and in the help of the Lord. And this is a personal help. This is a help that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 2. And yes, he doesn't come with all excellency of speech. He doesn't come with all the best oratory skills and everything else. But he says, "My speech and my preaching were not worth persuasive words or human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Therefore we speak as those who are filled with His Spirit." May God grant that to us here at Providence. Our help is in His name. The help is to be found not in someone else, but in God. As the psalmist says in Psalm 121, "I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." You see, the psalmist here in Psalm 121, Psalm 124, you go to Psalm 145 as well. Our help is that which is tested upon God's Word. Having found God to be everything that He has described Himself as being. We look to the past, even as David did, even all the way back to Moses, even all the way back to Abraham. The Lord has helped. And we look to the present and we assert, "The Lord is my help, even today. And we look to the future and we can affirm God's promises. The Lord will be with me forever. He will be our help. This is a God-centered confession that is much needed today, especially in a day when everyone points to all kinds of other helps, self-helps, and self-proclaimed helps. No, our help is in the name of the Lord. How many of us have experienced or know others who experience great difficulties in their life, maybe even recently? And maybe we say something like, I just don't know how people can go through that or get through that without knowing the Lord. And the truth is, any help they have is really only empty, hopeless, and helpless promises if their help is not in the name of the Lord. But see, the gospel, it is what transforms this help. This help not only needs to be God-centered, but gospel-focused. It needs to be a gospel-focused confession that will give true, eternal help and hope. Our help. You notice when you put the word emphasis not on the words, the name of the Lord, but our help, you find the gospel all wrapped up there, don't you? Because we recognize right then and there that our help, we need help. We confess that we need help. The gospel testifies that we are helpless in and of ourselves. But in God, through Christ, we might have everything we need or possibly could need. And so also for Israel, what a graphic picture, and several pictures here in Psalm 124. Let Israel say, if it not had been the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, they would have swallowed us alive. And notice in verse 6, where he says, blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. You get this picture of those men who were up against Israel and against God's people as those who were fierce beasts, as it were, going up against the Lord's anointed, his people, as seeking to devour them as prey. And yet without God and without the Lord on their side, when men rose up against us, they would have swallowed us up alive. We would have been given as prey to their teeth. But with God, He has not given us as prey to their teeth. He shows it as a fierce flood. A fierce flood that would come over and engulf the land. In verse 3 through 5, when their wrath is kindled against us, then the waters would have overwhelmed us. The streams would have gone over our soul. The swollen waters would have gone over our soul. These floods would have swallowed them up, would have drugged them down. And yet the snare, or these suffocating floods, with the help of the Lord, they have escaped them as a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. And isn't that what the gospel is all about? Helpless, hopeless creatures delivered by the amazing salvation from God. Our help is in His name. That name of matchless worth. That name, the Lord Jesus Christ. That name that's a Savior of sinners. There was once an old native chief who had come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and loved to speak about Jesus and spoke about Him wherever he went. And some of his people, his tribesmen, they come and say, why do you always have to talk about this Jesus? Why do you always have to bring Him up everywhere you go? And he takes this little caterpillar and he sets them in the midst of a circle of dead grass. And this little caterpillar is in the middle of this circle of dead grass and he lights that grass on fire. And the fire circles around that caterpillar. And soon, that caterpillar is engulfed in this fire. And he's running from one side to the other side, to the other side, to the other side. And all he can do is sit in the middle and look up. And his help had to come from above. And that's what the gospel is. And he says, that's what Jesus did for me. He come and he plucked me out of the fire. He delivered me. Our help is from the name of the Lord. He's the help of the helpless. He's the hope for the hopeless. But God, who is rich in mercy. Hallelujah, says the psalmist. Blessed be the God who delivers us from the snare. Hallelujah, for there's salvation in him. It's a gospel-focused confession. Had not God been on our side? You see, it's the gospel that makes this possible. Because by nature, we would be against God and against his truth and against his ways. But God being on our side, our help is in the name of the Lord. And this requires a gospel message, a message that's a radical change. That the Spirit works in us, causing us to become born again Christians who seek to serve him by the power of his Holy Spirit. It's not by the will of man. It's not by the efforts of man. It's not by all the cunning schemes of men. No, it's by the work of God who sovereignly reaches down. Our help is in the name of God who comes and snatches us out of the snare. To be reconciled with God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. To be conformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. To be sanctified as members of Christ. To surrender our will to God's will. That we might also say, even with Christ, not my will be done, but your will be done. That we might find true security in Christ. That we might know our help is in the name of the Lord. That we might know that when God is for us, who can be against us? That we might know, precious are his saints in his sight through Christ. So precious that those hands that snatch us out of the fire, those fatherly hands, will never, no, never let us go. That's the gospel. My help is in that eternal security of the everlasting hands of my Father, my Savior, and his Spirit. Dear congregation, that's the message by God's grace that needs to be preached weekly from this pulpit. Death, misery, hopelessness, helplessness in Adam. Because you might ask again, I don't know what people would do if they didn't know the Lord in such a situation. Well, I think we all do know from God's word. They are those who are on their own. They are those who are devoured as prey in the teeth of their tormentors. Their souls overwhelmed with the floods of emptiness, misery, distress, and are ensnared in the emptiness of all that the world has to offer and left to all of their own devices that will do nothing but fail. But those whose help comes from the Lord, those are the ones who find life in Christ. And may it be said weekly, our pastor preaches Jesus. And we see Jesus by his grace, a complete Savior of sinners. Because our help comes from the Lord. The Lord who sets forth this truth and says also in Psalm 146, happy is he who has God, the God of Jacob, for his help, whose hope is in the Lord, his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turns upside down. The Lord shall reign forever. This is the Lord who we set before you as ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing the fear of God, knowing the terror of God. Find life in Him. For the Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Hallelujah. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go to your homes in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.